Kia ora everyone and welcome to podcast 15, the last podcast in our mini-series on the parables of Luke. The parable we're going to consider today is the parable of the lost coin, which can be found in Luke 15 verses 8 to 10. Today's gospel reading continues the record of Jesus' teaching while he's on the way to his final destiny in Jerusalem. As I've mentioned in some previous podcasts, the scripture passage is part of the middle section of Luke's gospel, which is about a third of the whole of Luke's gospel, that scholars call the travel narrative, because it documents Jesus' travel from Capernaum in the north of Galilee to Jerusalem. Now, this part of Jesus' teaching consists of three parables with a consistent theme. The three parables are the parables of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost or prodigal son. And today we're going to be focusing on the middle parable, the parable of the lost coin. In this part of Luke's gospel, Jesus is speaking to the tax collectors and sinners, the outcasts of society. And hanging around on the fringes of the crowd and grumbling about this are the Pharisees and teachers of the law. So the context for these parables is set for this particular and sharply divided audience. Excuse me. On the one hand, the religious and devout Jews, on the other, the marginalized and rejected people of this society. The core pattern is present in all three parables. Someone or something, in this case a coin, is lost. They are valued and missed, and effort is made to recover them, despite the fact that they are in the minority. There are 9 other coins that are not lost. When the lost animal, thing, or person is recovered, there is rejoicing, not just of the individual who has found it, but the neighbours and others are called to rejoice as well. And then there's the sting in the tail of this set of parables. Remembering the audience Jesus is talking to, Jesus says, "In the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." What do you think the Pharisees and teachers of the law thought when they heard these words? What did the tax collectors and sinners think? For the parable of the lost coin, there are a number of cultural and contextual questions we need to consider. What was the significance of the 10 silver coins? Why did Jesus use them to illustrate an important parable? What was the big deal about losing just one coin? Why would a woman take all the trouble to light a lamp, sweep the whole house, and search high and low for it? After finding it, why was she so joyful that she would be delighted to tell her friends and neighbours about it? Now, in the society of the time, 10 silver coins or a number of silver coins were bound together as a dowry and headdress for a woman to wear on her forehead, and she wore this headdress from her wedding day and thereafter. She would wear this piece of jewellery daily, even while she slept. This dowry was one of the few things that was the bride's personal property. It formed a financial support backup for her new family if needed. The silver coins on the headdress served as an indicator of the woman's status, showing her wealth and faithfulness. And that's why she was so anxious to ensure that every coin was intact and in place. If the bride used a coin for any financial transaction without her husband's knowledge or approval, it would reflect very badly on her character. Her husband could even take this lost coin to be a justification to divorce her. The coin meant more to her than just the value of the silver. For her to lose it would mean losing face in her community and to become shameful before her husband. Thus, on losing any one coin, she must make a desperate search to find it again. This is not just about the money value of the coin. Her status in the community and possibly the future of her marriage depended on finding this coin. And so she swept the whole house, and she was searching not just for a piece of metal. She was searching for her right to have a home, shelter, and respectability, her right to have a safe and honourable place in society, her right to mother her children and be a wife to her husband. And when she finally found that lost coin, she was overwhelmed with joy. She wanted her neighbours and friends to celebrate and rejoice with her. And Jesus repeats the admonition he made for the parable of the lost sheep. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And now I want to add a little parable of my own experience for this gospel passage. And this one is a real life parable, the parable of the lost rings. I wear three rings, an engagement ring, a wedding ring, and an ordination ring, all given to me by my lovely wife, Debbie. On the way back from Nepal in 2017, I had a stopover of several hours in Kuala Lumpur. So I went to an airport hotel and had a shower to freshen up before the next leg of the journey. I got back on the plane and was sitting in my seat, and somewhere near Singapore, I looked down at my hands, and to my horror, I realized I wasn't wearing any of those three rings. I'd left them in the shower stall at the hotel in Kuala Lumpur. Straight away, I had a reassurance from the Lord that I would get the rings back. As soon as I landed in Auckland, I rang the hotel and asked if there was any sign of them. They said they would email me if housekeeping staff found them. A couple of days later, I had an email from the housekeeping manager saying the three rings had been found by cleaning staff and were now in the lost property section. We agreed I would pay for the rings to be couriered back to New Zealand. Problem solved, or so it seemed. However, the manager then phoned back and said none of the courier firms they had approached were willing to take the rings because of insurance and other issues. Still, the Lord's assurance was there with me. You will get these rings back. Then the housekeeping manager had an inspired idea. He had a friend who was a pilot with Malaysian Airlines who was flying a plane to Auckland the following week. He could give the rings to his pilot friend, who could then pass them on to me. So it was that the next week I met the flight in Auckland, and the pilot handed over the packet with all three rings in it back to me. I can tell you I did a little dance of joy on my way back to the car to drive back to Hamilton. For me, this was a real lesson and a test of trusting God, trying at times to fight down the panic and listen carefully to what God was saying to me. So what lessons can we draw from the parables? I can think of three, and you may have thought of more. Firstly, God loves us, each of us individually, and cares for us no matter who we are. God is concerned about us as individuals and our own needs. Secondly, we need to be very careful as Christians that we don't become like the Pharisees and think of ourselves as a righteous person who does not need to repent. And thirdly, we need to remember that all heaven has a party when someone repents, turns to God, and commits to follow him.